First, I want to create a print cover in PowerPoint. Now, keep in mind with print covers in PowerPoint, the PDF resolution that it spits out will be equal to whatever images you start with. So if you start with images that are high resolution and you bring them in and you try to make them bigger, I'm going to show you this in a second, then you're going to end up with, you know, resolution is going to be too small, okay, because you're trying to enlarge a picture. If you start out with a big picture to begin with, you're good. It's going to export at what you want it to be. Margins are tricky. I'm going to demo this for you, but you want to watch the measurements on your margins. It'll actually, when you input shapes and stuff, it tells you the positioning when you move the shape around, and it also tells you how big it is. It's teeny tiny numbers on your screen. It might be tough to see on the video, but when you use it on your screen, you'll be able to tell. And the best printer to use for any print books you design in PowerPoint, cover and interior, is CreateSpace. Ingram Spark and traditional printers may reject the PDF for various reasons, because there's an extra coding that goes into PDFs, and PowerPoint is a very simple program. So, you know, compared to something like Adobe InDesign and Photoshop, PowerPoint's a simple program. So I would recommend that you use PowerPoint for CreateSpace. All right, so let's get into the actual demo for Microsoft PowerPoint. I'm going to go down here to where I have a blank PowerPoint. All right, here we go. And I also want to find a really bad cover design. Okay, so I'm going to go back down to, I'm going to just open up one of my things here and bring over the browser. And let's go to Amazon. Now, somebody give me a genre to look up. It's going to be funny. You guys suggest it. This is going to be very interactive during all these. Fantasy. That could be fun, actually. I don't know that. Urban fantasy. Okay. I'll go with that one. It's the first one. Fantasy books. Ooh. Ouch. The first one is just... Yeah, there's a lot of bad fantasy books, aren't there? That's actually not so bad right there. But, of course, Game of Thrones is always awesome. That's pretty cool. And, yeah, some of these are like, oh, dear Lord, they're horrible. Like this one, Drums of Autumn, Outlander Book 4, Outlander Book 3. So it's the same author. So I'm going to show you something really quick. This is how I do research for book covers. I'm going to click on this one. And it says New York best-selling author, so... You can actually hit a bestseller list, even New York Times, with a really crappy cover. And there's not a lot that's horrible about this. It's just, look at the picture. Let me go back up to the cover here. This picture is ripped off the internet, probably illegally. And I can prove it because it's got artifacting around the outside edge, which means that it's too low of resolution for print. Just, ew. And it's a really gross picture. I mean, you could totally do so much better. It's also, her name is the same font size and type of font as the title. No differentiation between the two. It's very boring. So, I'm going to take that as my inspiration, and I'm going to recreate it. So, I'm going to move this over to my second screen. That's why I have two monitors, just so I can keep looking at it while we create the good one. And I'm going to grab another tab here so that I can find an image that works a lot better than that one. And I love using photos. So this one's called Voyager, and it looks like it has something to do with Celtic stuff because it's a Celtic brooch. So I'm going to go over to Pixabay. So Pixabay.com is another resource for public. Every image on here is public domain. And I'm going to look up Celtic and see what comes up. Now, this is kind of cool. I like this. Celtic cross. There's this image. Let me see what... Let's see. Their passionate encounter happened long ago by whatever measurement Claire Randall took 2 decades before she traveled back in time and into the arms of a gallant 18th century Scot named Jamie Fraser. Then she returned to her own century to bear his child, believing him dead in the tragic Battle of Culloden, yet his memory has never lessened its hold on her, and her body still cries out for him in her dreams. Ooh. So it's like a romantic fantasy. Then Claire discovers that Jamie survived. Torn between returning to him and staying with their daughter in her own era, Claire must choose her destiny. So actually, this picture right here could work. I mean, this is actually kind of cool. It's got a raven on her shoulder, which is very interesting. It's a female. It's got the castle in the background, which, you know, kind of like a time travel kind of thing. And the raven actually could be symbolic because ravens have a certain symbolism when it comes to death and time and travel and stuff like that. So, hey, let me see how big this is. It's plenty big enough right there. So I'm going to download this picture and we're going to use it. And now I want to just move over to here. All right, so I've already done the research on the picture, and I want to make that really fast. And I'm going to get rid of these because you don't need the default click to add to title and stuff. All right, this is your basic 16:9 ratio. I need to change that as well. So what I'm going to do is a little tiny bit of math. And where's my... Oh, shoot. Okay, I got to change a setting here. And that's not what I want either. So because I'm running my other slideshow, I'm going to have to end it and restart it later because I need this menu at the top here. Okay, so on your menu at the top, you want to go to File, Page Setup, and I'm going to just use 6:9 for all these demos to make it really easy. So the width at 6:9 would normally be 12 plus, you know, actually it's 18 wide plus the, or sorry, 12 wide plus the bleed plus the spine. So I've already done the math on this, and I'm just going to say the spine is going to be 0.25 inches. It'll probably be bigger, but I'm going to say it's 12.5 because that's 0.25 for the bleed on either edge, 0.25 for the spine in the middle, and 6 plus 6 for the front and the back. The height is a lot easier to figure out. It's 9.25 because that's an eighth of an inch at the top, an eighth of an inch at the bottom, and 9 inches high. Okay, that's how I get those numbers. Let me just hit scale up. Doesn't matter right now because I don't have any pictures or anything. This is a full book cover. So now I want to go to my shapes because I want to just put a place marker here where the spine will be. And see how it says width and height when I see that it moves around those numbers? I want to get that width to 0.25 if possible. I was able to do it earlier. It's 0.24. Let's try this again. And it wants to jump between 0.24 and 0.26, so we'll say 0.24. And then, see how when you move it around, it says left negative, and it's, the number's going up. I want to get up to 0. And it's not doing that either, so, that's weird. But, you know, it's close enough to 0. It's like negative 0.07, 0.01. That's close enough. All right, so this lets me know where my spine is going to be, and I want to work on the front cover. For the front cover, all I want to do is go find that picture that I got and drag it in and drop it. Now, this is actual size at 300 dpi. So if I enlarge it, it's going to go blurry, and I don't want that. So I'm going to have to cheat just a little bit and use a little bit of a designer's method. So what I could do is mess around with the crappie. See, if you do this, it's going to squish it. That's not good. I don't want that. But I can mess around with the editing feature inside inside PowerPoint, which is really annoying. If I do change picture, that just brings up change picture. I can hit this crop tool and just crop it in, which actually this is a new feature. Cool. So that's what I want to do. And actually, I think I could probably crop that a little bit further out and move the picture a little bit. Actually, yeah, there we go. So I don't want it to go across the spine right now. There we go. All right, so now I have a picture on the front. And what I could do is put that at the bottom like that and then do a what I call a designer's cop-out, but it works, and do a color background here, which is probably what I'm going to do because it's just easy. So I'm going to take a shape And I want to make sure that my shape doesn't have any outline. So I'm going to say no outline. And I want the fill to be black. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to just go ahead and put it all the way down. So I have a complete black background. Now, that covered everything up, right? So I want to right click and do reorder overlapping objects, which will bring up this cool thing here. Move it all the way to the back. Click OK at the bottom right. And there we go. Now this in the back cover, I'm not going to want that. So I'm going to copy and paste this square so that I don't have to worry about messing with the size anymore. And I'm going to change that to more fill colors. Use this eyedropper tool and see if I can pull in some red. No, it's not going to let me. So apparently the eyedropper tool doesn't work anymore. So I'm just going to get as close as I can to a lighter color that's in there. I kind of like this light creamy color. So I'm just going to grab like a creamy yellowy white. Maybe make it a little bit more creamy. Not quite so peach. So let's move it over to there. That's pretty darn close. And, oh, see, now I've got the eyedropper tool. See what happens with that. Cool. And I want to make that go all the way to the edge and down to here. See how it makes that red dotted line go across? That means it's lined up perfectly with the top of the picture, which works for me. All right, so, and now I actually want this to go across because I want that to go across the spine. We're going to get rid of this blue. And that's just a placeholder. Let me know where the spine is. And again, I want to reorder my objects because I want that to be in front of the black, but behind the picture. All right, there. So now if I delete that, you can see that's my actual book cover. All right, and I'm going to, and by the way, you know, I may have made fun of the particular book cover that I'm redoing, but that's just because I personally wouldn't buy the book because I judge a book by its cover. It's still a best-selling book, and it's probably because the story is outstandingly amazing. Okay, so just in case you're wondering, you can still get on the New York Times best-selling list if you have an amazing story, even if you have a crappy cover. Okay, so now I need text. So I'm going to grab a text box here, and I'm just going to make myself a text box. I'm going to put in the author's name, Diana Gabaldon. And I want to take that and bring it over here. And I think I want that to be the same color. Just to see, it says recent colors. It saved it as this. I don't want it to be this font, but I do want it to be centered. And I do want it to be significantly bigger. So I can change the font size here. I can make it even bigger than that. There we go. Now, when I do this, I'm going in. See how the edge says 6 inches? I want to go in 5.75 or darn close to it, 5.74, because that part of the book gets cut off. That's part of the bleed. Actually, it's not 7.4. It's halfway. It's an eighth of an inch. So right about there. It's still a guesstimate, but I want to be able to have this be as centered on the front cover as possible. And with this bleed getting cut off, it would look funny if I didn't make sure it was centered between the bleed and between the spine. So still don't like that font. So let's go find something a little bit more. Yeah, that's kind of cool. More edgy. And I want to tighten up the text between the two things. So what I could do is copy and paste this box and make these each word two different text boxes, which actually is my preferred method because it's easier to move things around that way. Or what I could do is tighten up the text using one of the text tools up here. So for me, it's easier to just copy paste and make sure that's lined up right. Double click or triple click that to get rid of it and delete in this box the last name. So now I have two different text boxes with the name. All right, so Diana's name is going to go up here at the top because remember that top little bit's getting cut off as well. And then I want her last name to be kind of really, really close. Even touching could be fun. That's just kind of cool looking right there. Maybe a little tiny bit of space in between the two. And now I have a little bit of an issue here with there's a little tiny bit of black space above here before it would be cut off with the bleed, but a little bit less space here. Designer trick. You always want, if there's space of solid color above text or below text, you always want more space below text than above the text. So I have a couple options. I can take this picture and I can crop it again, or I can just scoot it down. I'm going to just scoot it down just a little bit, like so. And I'm going to scoot that down as well so it matches. That actually doesn't look too bad. Now, there's some stuff you can get into really fancy with the other programs, like gradienting this out so that it fades into the background and so on. I'm not going to worry about that. What I am going to do is insert another bar of color across here. And for some reason, it's not snapping right. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this shape, copy and paste it, and make it smaller. And I think I'm going to use the bright red. I think that would be really pretty. So I'm going to grab my shape fill here and use a bright red and pull it across. So now I have this cool red line separating the name from the image, and it ties it into this really frilly dress here. But this leaves me with one other problem. I need the title, right? Voyager, a novel. So I want to put something in here that doesn't take away from the picture too much, and that is a challenge. So I'm going to go find myself another text box. I'm going to type the word Voyager. I'm intentionally making it lowercase just because I want to try something out, see if it works, and make it a lot bigger. Maybe even bigger than that. I'm putting emphasis on the author's name here and not this. And because it is a fantasy romance, I'm gonna try a script font. Ooh, that's really kind of cool because it's very Celtic-y looking too. Maybe tough to read. So let's see what this one is. No, that's horrible. I have over 1,000 fonts, so I'm trying to do this a little bit quickly without going through everything. This would be, and it's called Aladdin, and it's a little bit of a stereotypical font. Don't want that. Pardon the extremely loud truck that just went by. And Allura is kind of a pretty one. So that's an option. Ooh, I like that one, actually. Alconia. So that's a possibility. Now, the original book cover has a serif font rather than a. This is a sans serif font. But let's just scroll down here and see what else we have. Aquilina can be. Oh, that's kind of interesting. It's a little bit along the lines of papyrus, but it's not papyrus. So that's definitely a possibility. But I definitely want something different that's a script. It's kind of Arthurian, like Arthurian legend. I don't want that. This is the part of the process that takes the longest, is selecting a font. I like this one. Actually, that could work really well. So now for this, let's go ahead and make the font size a little bit bigger. And I want to apply some kind of an effect to it so it stands out. So first of all, I'm going to make it white just to see what it does. Actually, that could work too. No, I don't like that now. I don't like how busy it is. So I might actually take a totally different approach and see what that does. And let's see what it does in all caps. Yeah, not like that either. Trying to get the font that matches the let's use an Adobe font. So this is more along the lines of the original. Oops. So getting a font that matches the genre is the trickiest part. And you can't really go wrong with Adobe Pro fonts. Well, if you have the Adobe Creative Suite, you have the Adobe Pro fonts. So You really can't go wrong with those. And let's go ahead and center and see what that does. And line that one up with what's above it. And I'll have the unravel part too. So I could do something fun with this. I could get rid of the picture altogether and do a different picture, which I may end up doing, just because after looking at them, I'm like, no, no, if I want this, but I kind of like having the picture there because it identifies you with the character right away. So, you know, there's a lot of options there, but we're going to play with this in other programs too. And I might do something totally different in those. In fact, I probably will do something totally different. So with the text, I want to have some kind of a style to it. And there's a lot of different things you can do with text styles. If I go to my design tab, that's my actual slide design. I don't want that. And once again, I'm working in a brand new version of PowerPoint, and they hid some things like my text options. Where did they go? I don't know. They're gone. I'll find them. Just give me a moment here. I don't want any of that. Well, isn't that interesting? Here's word art, header and footer. I used to have all these options for doing like, see maybe, oh, there you go, format text effects. I don't know where they hid it in the main menu, but that's what it is, format text effects. So I can choose a drop shadow like this, and that actually makes it pop out more. If you have text against a busier background, drop shadow is absolutely something you might want to play with. Size can be played with here. You see how it moves that shadow around. Blur, you can blur it out a little bit more. The angle, the distance. I think I want to just stick to a default for that. So I'm just going to go grab one of these and default it. You can do an inner shadow too. That's always fun and interesting. I'm just going to do a regular default drop shadow. That might be enough to have right there. I mean, that's definitely just for the sake of my own OCD, I am going to crop this. And for some reason, my crop tool went away. So let's do format picture. See, they moved everything to go over here, which is also very annoying. That I'm not sure why my crop tool is gone, but I was just going to crop that off the bottom because it annoys me that it doesn't line up there. That's all. So I'm going to go ahead and scoot this up a little bit so I have room for the words a novel, and I'm going to take this and copy and paste it so I have the same font type. I'm going to type in there a novel, and I want it to be all lowercase. And one thing about PowerPoint, it will automatically change it to proper grammar in uppercase, but I don't want that in this case. And let's make it very small, maybe 16. We'll see how it looks down here. Move it down. Yeah, definitely make it a little bigger than that. Try 24. 24 could work. And it says a novel. There. So now I have that, and how I would make my spine is I would simply copy and paste if it's wide enough for spine text, and I want to make this small as well, like really small, and then I'm just going to turn it using that till it says 90 degrees, this little turning thing here, move it over to inside where the spine is, and I'm probably going to make this so that it's centered. I want this word to be centered between the red line and the bottom of the book. A little bit above because of where the cutoff for the bleed would be. Like so. Scoot it in just a little bit so it'll be more centered in the spine. And then I also want this last name. Copy and paste. Make it a lot smaller, turn it till it says 90 degrees, and once again, I want it to be centered between the red line and the top of the book in this case. And that way, it's actually centered on the spine here. So when I delete this, whoops, not that. When I delete this blue line here, which is holding the spine width, the place of the spine width, I want the word Voyager also to be a different color so it stands out. So I'm just going to make it black. So my actual spine will show up with that text on it. All right, so I'm going to put my blue thing back in place. Let's go ahead and make that black. And now I want to have some sort of a hook up here. So I'm going to copy and paste this again. Once again, I'm doing this just so that I have this font type. I'm going to make it a whole lot smaller. It doesn't need to be nearly as big. And this is where my hook is going to be. So in this particular case, I'm not sure if she even has. Let me look at her paperback. I'm on my other screen now. Just look at the paperback to see if she's got a back cover. I'm going to click the look aside. Sometimes it lets you look at the back cover. In this case, it's not. So her back cover may or may not have anything of value on it, but the hook would actually go here. So I'm going to make this up against the spine here and then allow a little room for the bleed and just say, I'm just going to copy that because this is just placeholder. I'm not going to actually write her hook for her. Say hook, hook. So the hook sentence of why you need to pick up this book and read it now would go up here. And now I'm going to take this Adobe Caslon Pro, which is a great font, by the way, over here. In fact, I'm just going to delete that. I'm going to start fresh with the new text box because I don't want the drop shadow on that. So I'm going to just start typing in here. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to copy and paste her Amazon description. So copy, paste, and I need to make this a lot smaller. See if 12 works. Make this Adobe Caslon Pro. And I missed the I on in. And this would be the back cover copy right here. So that would go up here. I could make it a little bigger. Let's say 14 to see what that does. There we go. And then I need an ISBN barcode to go right here. So what I'm going to do is cheat because I already have barcodes. And I'm going to open up one of my book files. This is usually how I do all of my, so these are all my book files here. And I'm just going to grab, take one of my idea journals. And these are all in InDesign format, but it literally can be anything. I'm just going to grab from my cover. I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to grab this picture right here. Copy. And paste. Oops. Okay. Not sure what that was all about. Paste special. See if I can try it that way. Files. Nope. All right. Let's try paste special as PDF and see if it'll do it that way. It may not do it. Oh, there we go. Paste as PDF. It posted in there. Now, for where you place it, you may see this rule broken, but if you ever want your book to see the inside of bookstores, you want it to be in this spot because bookstores are used to scanning books in a specific place. And this is how they scan them. And it's industry standard anyway. You want it to be approximately a half an inch from the spine and approximately a half an inch from the bottom. All right, so remember that bleed's in there, so it'll be up just a little bit higher. So right where it's at's perfect. You can choose to add in a publisher company logo here. And in fact, I'll just show you right here. You got my publishing company logo, the categories, the website would go on the back cover of your book. Remember, not the front cover, and so on. So you do have that choice, but that's all optional. Okay, so I could even make this text bigger and have it flow around the barcode and go down into here some. Whatever. I mean, this works. So now at this point, I want to make this book cover a file that I can send to CreateSpace. I'm going to do export. So it's file export, PDF, and open it now. There we go. And this is perfectly good for sending to CreateSpace. Now, I would have deleted this blue thing because I don't want to have the blue thing in there. So because I'm OCD and I don't want to make you think that that's actually part of the cover design, I'm just going to delete that. That'd be my final step. Save it. Ooh, yeah, I probably should save it, huh? So always save it. And then go to File Export. It's already set to PDF. Already set to the right thing. Just replace the one that's there. You wouldn't believe how many times I replace files when I'm making print files. There you go. There's a print cover for this particular book. And I think it looks halfway decent for having taken, what, like 10 minutes to design it? So I'm going to skim through your questions here just for the PowerPoint demo. If it relates to anything else, I'm going to answer those questions at the end with the homework. So just as it relates to the PowerPoint demo, I'm going to go through here and grab... Well, some people say it's an amazing series, my favorite. Awesome. Do you recommend getting the latest version of PowerPoint or going with another program? I personally recommend going with another program, honestly, and I'll show you why in the other demos. But I have a lot of my journal design students using PowerPoint to print with CreateSpace and doing a great, great job of it and super, super fast, which when we get into the interior layout, you're going to see why.